So last week we left off, I thought rather abruptly, with not talking about Blue Sky, because we told everyone, mandated everyone that they get off of Twitter and Meta, which is Facebook and Instagram and Threads.
I still have to
And
get off Instagram.
oh, you are so bad. I'm going to put place sanctions on you until you get off of Meta.
Okay.
You're sanctioned.
Oh boy.
What we didn't do is give them the alternative, which is Blue Sky. Blue Sky is an AT protocol app, which means that it's an open platform. It's based on an
Okay.
open standard. AT protocol is an open standard for sharing content on the internet, basically like a Twitter or Instagram or Facebook kind of thing. But instead of being locked behind the closed door of one system, one owner, you can actually host your own data, or you can find a server to host it, or you can host your own username, or use another, use a basic Blue Sky service to do that. So it's
Oh.
open, and it's not, nobody can turn your shit off. You can move to a different protocol or different, if you don't like Blue Sky, you can build your own a version of Blue Sky. All your content, Blue Sky is just the window for that content. So you can create
Okay.
your own window and move your content over to that window if you want.
That's interesting.
Bluesky.app. Actually, I always get confused about that. Search for Blue Sky app and you'll find it. That's where to go.
Okay.
However, and it's only got like 33 million users at the moment, but they're all the best users, except when they're not. So don't expect this to be manna from heaven. This is still, you can still follow the same people that you follow everywhere else, assuming they're smart enough to be on Blue Sky. But the comment section is still a dumpster fire because it's filled with humans. And humans, I don't think Catherine has a good relationship with most humans, and it's gonna be that way here too.
Why do you say that?
Because you don't like what people say.
Often.
You get offended, you get hurt, you do human things.
I do. Don't we all? The only issue I have with Blue Sky is that I don't feel like the creators that I'm following, and there aren't very many, upload to that consistently. So if you're still on Instagram, which unfortunately I am, I'm going to try to get off today. It's a weaning process. It's like they will have a plethora of information or their creations on that platform. And then you go to Blue Sky and there may be two entries. And so,
That
and Blue Sky
what
feels a lot like the old Twitter to me, and it's not as visual. And so that's why I'm still hooked on Instagram because of the visual nature. We talked about that last week a bit.
Right, and I think you're right about all that. It is basically a perfected version of Twitter. Blue Sky is a perfected version of Twitter.
Yes.
And so you can upload visual thing, pictures and video, but it's not as well suited for that. But that's just Blue Sky. The AT protocol, there are other apps out there that are trying to work on the same protocol and be more visual. There is Skylight for which is really going gangbusters. They are catching up to TikTok in a lot of ways as far as just usability and whatnot. They're by no means a replacement for TikTok yet, but the speed at which they're developing is quite shocking. And there are flashes, and there are other apps that are more oriented towards being a replacement for Instagram. I haven't kept up with them, but they were developing a little bit not as quickly, so I'm not sure how that's going. But my take is, you can live without the content that you have on Instagram, and just find content, other kinds of content, and people on Blue Sky that will take up will be interesting to you.
Okay.
The same thing happened to me. There are people who I left on Instagram. I haven't seen them since I've left Instagram, and
Exactly.
I'm disappointed by that, but I'm not gonna compromise my integrity to go back there.
Okay.
But that, it's everybody has their own thing. But the thing, and that's part of it. People feel like they are locked into these platforms, and they're not. It's like a learned hopelessness, and that's what Zuckerberg and Musk want you to feel. So say no to that.
Okay.
So a lot of people also question, it's like, well, is this the same thing going to happen with this social platform? It starts off all roses and everything,
Right.
and then turns into crap. No, because this is built differently. It's built on an open platform, so it's not restricted to one place. It's also a public benefit company, which means it has a specific role. The outline of the company says what it has to be, and it's for the public benefit. And it's kind of quote billionaire proof because again it's just it's easily forked. You can host your own domain name or your own username and your own content if you want to.
Okay.
So it's you taking control of your own stuff. So dump the other stuff and go to Blue Sky.
Okay.
Join us on Blue Sky.
I'm on Blue Sky.
You're not liking my post, though. You know, I post jokes on the Subrant podcast feed.
I've got to make sure I'm following. Am I following Subrant? I am following Subrant.
You sure as hell better.
I think I am. Yeah. Well, once I get off Meta and it's not sucking my time.
No. This should not be separate things. You should be able to do both.
Mm.
You have to do Blue Sky. You shouldn't be doing Meta, but you have to do Blue Sky.
Okay.
I am requiring this of you.
Okay. I will do Blue Sky.
Thank you.
Okay, go ahead. What's next? What are we talking about next?
Well, you know, what? I just want to finish up by saying, honestly, I watched a whole damn hour
mm-hmm.
of Jay Graber talking about why she set up Blue Sky mm-hmm. and the process of it. You know, it started in Twitter.
Mm-hmm.
Back in the old Twitter days, Dorsey actually started it. Dorsey's the originator of Twitter. Started this project to have an open source version. Started it, named it Blue Sky. Brought in Jay eventually, and then when Elon came in, they basically booted it out. And she took it over and left with it, put in her bag, walked out the front door, and said, "Here, I got Blue Sky now."
And it wasn't considered intellectual property of old Twitter?
No, because of the way it was set up.
Okay, good.
This is possibly the weirdest coincidence I've ever seen in my life, though. Are you ready for this?
I'm trying.
Okay. Jay Graber,
mm-hmm.
first of all, she's 34, I guess, 91, mm-hmm. 20 years younger mm-hmm. than me. Young enough so that, you know, I don't care mm-hmm. that she's smart. That's a whole different generation. Jay is her nickname. Her real name, I don't know, it's actually Chinese because her mother is of China. And it's like Lanesha or Lishian, mm-hmm. Lishin, something like mm-hmm. that. Lishin Graber.
Okay.
Do you want to take a wild guess what her first name means in English?
Blue Sky.
It's Blue Sky.
Awesome. That's probably
her
why
given
she
name,
named it that.
No, she didn't name it. Dorsey named it.
Oh, really?
That's why I'm saying this is the wildest coincidence I think I've ever seen in my life.
Now I get the coincidence.
Dorsey creates this project. Uh-huh. Dorsey names it Blue Sky. Dorsey hires Jay Graber to run it. So, and, you know, unbeknownst to anyone, her actual name, Lishin, whatever it is, means Blue Sky.
Interesting.
It's like, imagine Elon's parents named him Exploding Car
mm-hmm.
or named him Asshole or something like that.
Right.
That's like the level of coincidence that it would be. Not that all Cybertrucks burst into flame.
Right.
Well, I mean, eventually they do.
Or like parts fly off of them. That was disturbing,
yep.
reading about that.
Everything about that truck is disturbing.
Yeah, well, some guy said that he was driving down the road and like a piece of his truck just flew off into traffic and
yeah.
he was frantic.
I mean,
you could kill someone.
That's regular occurrence. The trim is just taped on and flies off. Parts of the vehicle come flying off.
I mean, not to be mean about the truck or anything, but it looks like the aluminum siding I have in the back shed. I mean, it really does. Or every time I see it, it looks like aluminum siding to me. And I want to get rid of that aluminum siding. So
I don't remember if we talked about this or not before, but, you know, the tragedy of the truck, there are lots of tragedies. But from a designer standpoint, I see that, you know, they were willing to take a huge gamble aesthetically and do something very different,
yeah.
right? And they chose this.
Yeah, different isn't always good just for different sake, you know?
I have to imagine. The designers in Tesla probably are crying in their beer right now. I am sure that Elon brought this shape to them and said, this is what the car is going to look like. And they probably came up with like a dozen different variations that probably looked really good, mm-hmm. that looked something like this. They said, no. This is the shape. It has to be this shape. And they're like, Elon, we can't do that. That would look terrible.
Mm-hmm.
It's like you can't have flat panels like that mm-hmm. because, you know, they warp. The slightest warping is very obvious.
Right.
I mean, there's so many reasons why you don't do this. And he ignored them.
Yeah.
Because their other cars look fine.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, they have decent designers. So they know that. Anyway.
Yeah.
This is stupid tangent to get off on.
No. I was behind a Tesla at Dutch Bros about a week ago. And I found myself just not driving really close to it. Because I was afraid it was going to blow up, but that was just,
well,
I was sleep deprived,
good...
though.
No, that is a genuine safety,
you know, I just,
recommendation.
Yeah, really?
Keep your distance.
Yeah, I just automatically did. I saw Tesla. I'm like, no. And they just pulled, I just kind of waited. The guy behind me was honking. I left like a good car length or more between us until he
back
pulled
into
away.
The person behind you.
No, I just stopped and he
just
was.
Start smashing into
I should have just backed
into
him. You're right. But he might have had a Tesla, too, and that would have been egregious. But anyway, okay, let's move on. I mean, we're just going off on crazy stuff.
Yes. All right. Many, many years ago, Catherine.
Okay.
In 2007, uh-huh. actually. I was on a photo sharing site called Blip Photo. It's BLIPFOTO.
Right.
So it's Blip Photo, but with an F.
Uh-huh.
It was actually started in 2006 by just some random web designer in Scotland. I think mm-hmm. it was Scotland. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think it was Scotland. The idea was you take a photo, you post it that same day. You take one photo, one day, you post it.
Mm-hmm.
Boom. And you keep going for as long as you can. A photo a day. I did that for like 7 or 8 years. I don't know. Straight. Every day.
Every day.
And then, you know, yeah, it went through some problems. He made some bad decisions in trying to grow out the company. And the community actually wound up taking over it. But I was still gone. I got tired of it. But then when I get off Instagram, I was looking around because I still wanted to have that some kind of community. And I found Blip Photo was still there and I rejoined.
Hmm.
And so I've been posting there. So it's a small community. It's, you know, it's not Instagram at all. It's just people posting. Some of them are good photographers. So you see some nice photography. Most of them are just, you know, taking pictures of their kids or going, you know, what they're doing. And it's also mostly in the UK. So it's not the US. You know, see all this nonsense.
Do they post pictures of their dogs?
Yes. And cats.
And no one comments like, what an ugly beast.
No, it's all very civilized.
Okay.
It's a small community.
Okay, good.
And, you know, so I actually joined the membership again. I'm paying for it. It's like, I don't know, it's like $50 a year or something like that.
Hmm.
But it's just nice, low-key place to...
Yeah, I'm on their website. There's a free photo journal now.
Yeah, you can do it for free. But like I said, if you want to support it, like I do,
right.
You can just, it's not that expensive.
Right. I think I like the idea of a photo journal. This might, once I leave Instagram, it might satisfy my need to have visual stimulus.
Yeah, that's kind of the irony is that one of the reasons I left was because of Instagram. Instagram had become such a ubiquitous facet of life that I was posting photos there instead, and it had a broader reach, and I had more friends on it. But you know, Instagram's dead now, so
it is pretty dead, and it's all reels. No one really just posts photos anymore. It's just all life is talking.
It's not what it used to be.
No. So it is time to leave. I was as during our little break, I was going through and deleting stuff and unfollowing people, and I'm getting ready. All right, so what's next, James?
Well, that's all new. That's old news. Now that we're halfway through the show, I guess we can start with new news.
Yes, go ahead.
So this is our episode 88. 87 was our previous episode,
right,
which is the first one in, I think, almost a year and a half.
Mm-hmm.
And in that year and a half, one of the things that changed in the world was that Google Podcasts was turned off. Google decided, no, they'd had enough with podcasts. So the most popular like podcast player on that ecosystem on Android and gone.
Right.
They just turned it off because they hate having projects that are successful, I guess. I don't know. I don't understand Google.
You
kind of
wonder.
Not imagine. You cannot believe the list of projects that Google has turned off. You know, they go for a couple months, maybe 6 months, maybe a year, and they just turn it off because it hasn't, I don't know why.
Hmm.
Great projects. Anyway, I had to go through the process of swapping our old feed, our 86 prior and our new 87 episodes over onto YouTube now because Google Podcast was gone.
Oh.
And that was a complete pain in the neck. But also, they're like basically three different versions of it now in the YouTube ecosystem. Because we have a quote, a YouTube web channel now. We have a YouTube channel. Oh, we're YouTubers, I guess.
Oh, we are?
Yeah.
Oh
so you
God.
Can go to YouTube and watch our videos, which is just the show art, which is nothing, basically,
oh,
and listen to us.
Oh, great. That'll just get lots of views.
But like any YouTube, unless you're paying for the YouTube, you know, the premium or whatever, if you turn it off or switch apps, you know, the audio stops. So it's not really a practical way to listen to a podcast. So it's also that whole thing, though, is wrapped also up into YouTube Music.
Oh, really? Like Spotify has that, like where you can do music or the podcast, right?
Well, it's all one thing for Spotify. Spotify is, you know... doesn't matter what you're using on Spotify, you can switch apps and turn away from the app and have it still playing in the background.
Right. So, but you can't? Oh, interesting.
With YouTube, well, if you play on YouTube, but if you go to YouTube Music, our exact same content's there.
Hmm.
And it's more like a podcast player. I don't know why there are these two different platforms, though, with our content. And then there's like a playlist for us.
Mm-hmm.
And then our channel home. And I don't know why these two things are separate or live in different places, but it confuses the crap out of me. So YouTube, I just don't understand Google. I don't think they do either. It really does feel like the Microsoft of old when they have no real, no focus, no focus.
Interesting.
No plan.
So wait, let me ask you a question. Are there tiers? where we're like the free tier and then you pay.
I was crying the whole time. So yes, there were lots of tears.
I'm sure there were tears. That's my experience with all this stuff. But, you know, I mean, are there different levels or different? If you paid, would your, because like on Etsy, I mean, this is a bad example. Things could have changed since I'm no longer using them. But like if you paid, they would promote your stuff. And if you didn't, you just kind of got stuck in like however many sales you made. And, you know, it was kind of first come, first serve.
Well, you're encouraged on Etsy to advertise.
Right.
And it's, you know, you kind of get in that, sucked into that level. And and it's the same. It's, you know, it's the same thing with YouTube, either the YouTube Music or the regular YouTube channel. In the creators section, there's a whole section dedicated to, hey, you know what? If you want your content to really shine, yeah, maybe do some ads.
Oh.
Maybe, you know, advertise it here and there. So, yeah.
How do you even do that?
I don't know. I'd have to go. I'm sure as soon as I click on it, they say, oh, this will walk you through it. We'll walk you through how to give us $1,000 a month.
Right, exactly. See, that's the thing. Screw that. We're doing this for fun and
shits and
therapy.
Giggles. Therapy and giggles.
Therapy and giggles.
Did you have any other thoughts on YouTube or anything else?
No,
you
I just
bring
wondered. You said that when you created the demographics or the creator demographics,
gave
you a little bit of a pause. And
okay,
you want
to open that can of worms, do you?
Yeah, I'm curious as to what these questions were and why. I mean, what are they? And particularly in light of DEI, I read through some of the stuff you sent me, and it's like, what are they getting at here, and why? If
Catherine, I knew I shouldn't have shared that with you because you're going to get us canceled now.
Oh no, am I?
Yes.
Am I canceling us?
Based on what we say now, yes.
Okay, then don't talk about it.
Well, too late now.
Okay.
You like now you're daring me not to talk about it.
No, I'm just curious because this may all change.
Well, it's kind of weird. So I'm setting up the account in YouTube, and there's this one tab that says creator demographics. Mm-hmm. It's like, fill out this survey. It's like, that seems a little weird, A, because I'm pretty sure YouTube and Google already knows everything they can possibly know about me. They probably know more about me than I know about
me. Probably.
But okay, it's a short 7-question survey.
Mm-hmm.
Should I just go through the questions?
Real quick, yeah.
Okay. Which of the following do you, the main lead, that would be me, because you weren't there.
All right.
One of us, you know. And I don't know why they couldn't do two people, like, or two or three people.
Yeah.
But anyway, how do you identify? Select one, and it's basically Asian through white or, you know, native. So
right.
that's pretty normal. The next one is, do you, the main lead, identify as a member of the LGBTQ community, including but not limited to lesbians, gay, bisexual, transgender, queer, pansexual, and or asexual?
Wow.
That seems like they're extending the list even further than I've ever seen it before.
Yeah.
But I think I know what LGBT is. It doesn't seem like they need to spell it. Anyway,
right.
That was the next
pansexual,
question.
Pansexual, they got everything.
And asexual.
Mm-hmm.
Or it's asexual. Maybe I'm just pronouncing that incorrectly.
No, it's not asexual.
Just, well, how do you know it's
asexual.
Maybe I am asexual. I don't know.
Okay.
The next question is, which of the following do you, the main lead, identify as? Select all that apply. Woman, man, non-binary, prefer to self-describe,
oh my
please
God.
Specify. Not sure or don't know. Sorry, I shouldn't have left at that, but what do you mean
that.
You don't? Okay.
I don't know.
Prefer not to answer.
Well, you're discerning. Okay. You're just figuring it out.
Whatever. Maybe you should spend more time figuring out and less time on YouTube then.
That'd be a good start.
After that question, or 2 questions ago about the LGBTQ, it asks, do you, the main lead, identify as transgender? I was like, didn't we just cover that?
Wow.
And then, let's see, the second last question is, which of the following best describes this channel?
Oh, God.
Select all that apply. This channel is led by many individuals, channels led by an organization. This channel represents music or artist band. This channel is part of the portfolio of a traditional media company, broadcaster, publisher, music label, or brand.
How about none of the above?
Well, no, this channel is led by one or many individual creators, which is what I chose.
Okay.
Because that's we are creators.
Oh, I guess
creators.
So, yeah. Okay.
And the last question of 7 questions, do you want to be invited to specialized programs and celebrations based on your answers, which seems a little creepy to me, but I said, sure, why not? If you find other white guys you want me to be in a party with, let's do that.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't think this is going to hold. In light of the DEI.
Let's put that aside. I don't even understand why, if they're going to ask 7 questions, why they have such a fetish on my sexuality and gender.
That's a good point. I don't know.
Wouldn't they want to know more about like what my hobbies are or something? Or, you know, what we might be talking about on the podcast?
Right.
Or, you know, do I have a PhD in something? I mean, that seems like a lot more
relevant.
Yeah,
are you qualified
like
to speak on what you're speaking on? I mean...
Exactly. Am I qualified to be on YouTube?
Right. It just best describes a channel. So you're saying, it doesn't even really ask you your content.
Exactly.
Like, is it sarcasm? Right. What is it? Is it serious?
Is it sarcasm?
You know what I meant? I don't know what I'm saying.
Not really. I don't usually know what you mean because you're just wacky.
But you know what I'm saying. Is it like satire I meant to say and it came out sarcasm?
Like I said, I went through it and it just seemed like a fetish. Honestly, it's like, why are they asking that many gender and sexual related questions?
I'm glad I didn't answer
these. Why that? Is this a porn channel?
No. Maybe that's what they're teasing out.
Maybe that's what they want to be.
Maybe they don't. And that's why they're asking. And then if you want to be invited to the group, and then they'll drill you more.
Special Jesus Christ.
I didn't mean that.
You
I did not.
Always say you don't mean it, but you always say
not.
Things
honest
like that.
Honest to God. Maybe I've had too much coffee. I drank.
Drill, baby, drill.
Oh, God. So now what?
So the next topic, just out of the blue, is you brought Warhol back into my life because you hate me.
No.
So why do you want to talk about Warhol? What's so special about Warhol now? What got you off on Warhol again?
It was just watching the documentary on Netflix.
And that really sucked you in,
did it? It sucked me in, yes. I mean, it's called the Andy Warhol Diaries. I thought it was really well done. And I thought of you when I was flipping through the documentaries that were offered. You know, I was just like, oh, I thought of you. And I thought, I know you're, you know, disdain.
Triggered.
And I knew it would trigger you. And I'm like, should I watch this while I be triggered? And I went into it kind of like we were saying with, you know, Wicked. We can talk about that another time. But, you know, maybe I went into not being a hater, but I didn't think I'd be impressed. I thought,
You went in with preconceptions.
Yeah, I thought more garbage, more nonsense, more reciting the same saga. And I didn't know there was a book called The Andy Warhol Diaries, and it was kind of based on the book. Evidently, he started this diary after he got shot, and I don't even know, remember what year, 70-something. And he would dictate it, and, you know, over the phone to, now I'm blocking on her name.
This book, book is the reason why we started talking about Warhol in the first place, because it got me kicked off it triggered me because NPR did a piece about the author of the book.
Mm-hmm.
And the author of the book said that Andy Warhol was the most important American artist of all time. And I said that was stupid, mm-hmm. and it was obviously stupid, and that's why we started, you know, dismantling Andy Warhol's work.
Okay. Well, anyway, so we're back to square one, and...
I mean, I've listened to the podcast. Have you?
What podcast?
Subrant podcast.
Oh, Subrant. I thought the Andy Warhol podcast. I either need more caffeine or less.
It's something I've been working...
I didn't remember it's been something I've been working on for a couple of years. I didn't remember... Okay, now I do remember you saying that.
It kicked it off.
It did kick it off. And so just to kind of kick that horse again, I started watching this documentary with a little bit of jaded preconception. And I thought, yeah, it's going to be more regurgitated stuff about how aloof he was, how asexual he was, how important he was, blah, blah, blah. It was absolutely one of the most gripping. I thought it was incredibly done. I just thought it was incredible. And it had me, I mean, I was so taken by the first episode alone that I ordered the book on eBay. I actually purchased the book on eBay for $25 from some guy in New York. And I was so thrilled. It's the first edition, first print. It has the jacket. It's in beautiful, beautiful condition. It's 840 some odd pages. It is a beast. And I can't even hold it up to read it. And it's just like, I'm gonna have to sit down and study. I just wanted to see his words. And as you go through it, and it's not necessarily separate, it's in some ways, it's six episodes. In some ways, it's separated by decade. And it just really kind of takes you from like his childhood. And it gives you some sense maybe of why he created this persona, if you want to believe this. I mean, you have to take
Catherine, that's my question. Do you believe it? Or do you think this is a tale that's just being spun around him to increase his persona?
No, I think I believe... I mean, you believe everything with a grain of salt.
How do we know?
I mean, you will never know. The guy's dead. But when you look at it, I mean, at first I started thinking, God, was he neurodivergent? Was he, you know, was he?
Don't start with that.
I know.
Nonsense.
I don't even want to think about that. But I mean, I started thinking like, you know, was he really? And then they talk about his childhood and how he was kind of ostracized at school. His parent, like his family was immigrants from a Slavic country, like Czechoslovakia.
Okay, Catherine, what? Everybody has a story.
I know,
but mostly what we need to talk about is the art. You know, was the art any good?
I think.
So does it really matter what kind of person he was or his story? Because we all have stories.
I think Andy Warhol. Well, I know we all have stories.
If I told the Catherine story, it would break people's hearts.
Oh God.
Especially if you do it, you know, if you get a good writer, you could take your story and you know, make it look like a tragedy.
Yes. I guess you could.
Does it help you understand the art, or does it make the art look more better?
It made the art look, okay, to be honest about the art, I separate it in two things. I think when I look at the art now, I think he could have done more.
That's actually, that's an interesting insight, because I think you're right about that, because one of the things, I looked at his early graphic design work, mm-hmm. and he was, you know, a competent graphic mm-hmm. designer. I really liked his graphic design work. Right. I could see how he had a creative inspiration.
Absolutely.
And then, you know, his early paintings are interesting, mm-hmm. but then he flattens out.
He flattens out in an attempt to, it's like...
He doesn't grow.
No, he doesn't grow, and he stagnates, and he almost goes backwards. And they kind of track it in this documentary. And it's not necessarily broken down by decades, but the story is kind of broken down by decades. I know I'm saying two things, talking on both sides of my rear end here.
These things happen.
But it starts out, and it gives a very cursory and interesting look into his childhood and how he felt like he always felt different, and how kids wouldn't want to play with them. So one way to grab their attention, he thought, well, if they don't like me, I'll just ask them if I can draw them. And so he'd invite them, like these kids, to his house, and he'd draw them. And it's like, you know, it's kind of a personal thing to be studied by someone and looked at, and it improved his relationships. And then he would just give them the drawing. And so he started like connecting with people through his art. It's this kind of like quirky kid. And that really tugged at my heartstrings. I mean, it really did. And you start seeing him in a little bit of softened light. And then,
well, that is obviously going to happen. If you start studying someone's life, you almost become friends with them. I mean, you go through their ordeals, you follow them, you become more empathetic to them.
Right.
And that's kind of the danger, is that then you're not as objective about looking at the art. I mean, you could do that with anybody,
mm-hmm.
and make a connection.
Right.
And then their work seems to be more important because you have a more personal connection to it.
Right. But what I came away with, and you asked, like, does it make the art more important? No, I think it makes the art flatter for me, because I see that he had, you know, he was talented. He did think things through. I think he was bright. And he kind of rode the wave of the culture. And I think what the six episodes did for me, it really juxtaposed the culture of the time, like the 60s. What was happening, you know, the factory and all of that stuff. And then the 70s when he got shot, what was happening politically. The 80s, they really dive into the AIDS epidemic and how that affected like his friend group and the art circles. You know, they throw Keith Haring in there, you know, who died of AIDS. And, you know, Basquiat was in there. And his relationship with Basquiat was far more convoluted, I think, than... I thought he was just kind of a mentor and whatever. And then when they had a falling out, it goes through their falling out after a All show. Right. But long story short, I think to me, it made me understand him as a person for whatever they want you to know. And it's only what people want you to know. And I think I saw him more, again, as a performance artist. Like, he created this persona.
Okay.
And the art was still flat to me in a lot of ways. Was he the most important artist? I think he was an important cultural figure for the time he was represented for several decades. Was he the most important artist? If you want to define it like that, sure, he was one of them. There were a lot. That's my take.
Okay. And that was a long take. It's like the gift that keeps giving.
The gift that keeps giving.
Warhol.
Yeah. Yeah.
The baseball bat that keeps pounding me in the head.
I saw a soup can the other day at the store, and I just about lost my shit. But that's another story.
Wow. What do you mean you lost your shit?
It just, I was incensed that I saw Campbell's soup can. I don't know why.
I
had a visceral reaction. I don't know what it was about.
Okay. Was it like hostile? Was it?
No, it was cream of chicken. And I just disgusted. I don't know why. Don't get me started again. Let's end the podcast.
What is that even? No. This is where the psychology. The psychobabble begins.
Okay.
All right, Catherine. Where do you think that emotion came from?
I don't know. The fact that he had so much to give and he made soup cans. I think that's it.
I have no more energy. You've sucked it all out of me. As Warhol usually does. Because he's good at sucking. It's all gone.
Yeah. I wept in episode 5.
Oh my God.
Okay.
You shouldn't watch TV anymore.
No, I need to turn everything off. All social media, all everything. I have to live in a bubble. Anyway, on that note, I'm going.